Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for David Ben Chana, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers this week, I'm going to have to try to move fast because I'm going to try to squeeze in a lot of topics, and I don't want this opening to be very long. So I'm going to try to squeeze in a number of topics before we get to our questions. So let me try to move fast here. First of all, on Israel, we have the visit of Secretary of State John Kerry, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. This evil Jew-hating piece of garbage, working, of course, with the Muslim Jew-hater Barack Hussein Obama, went to Israel and went to the Middle East again this week, vigorously, obsessively pressuring Israel to commit national suicide, to enter into negotiations to create a Palestine state, even though there is no Palestine and there are no Palestinians, and it would be national suicide for Israel to create such a state, to give up Judea and Samaria, God forbid, and go back to boundaries that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. But John Kerry went to the Middle East with that objective. And of course, Bibi Netanyahu, little by little, caves into the pressure. There's already, for instance, for months now, a quiet freeze on Jewish building that he has initiated in Judea and Samaria. He is freezing Jewish building, or trying to freeze Jewish building. Privately, Jews are still building, but he's trying to freeze Jewish building as much as possible, while the Arab Muslim Nazis are building tens of thousands of illegal structures all over Judea and Samaria. However, there is a rebellion taking place in Netanyahu's Likud party. People that disagree with his policies were elected to all the top positions in the Likud party hierarchy. Just today, there were elections, there were Likud internal elections today. And so I just want to say that we are one of the groups that are encouraging anti-Netanyahu pressure from the right. We are pressuring him from the right because he is so weak and so cowardly and so ghetto-minded and so pathetic. He has already decided to reconcile himself with the idea of a so-called Palestine state, of Israel caving in and agreeing to this national insanity. He's already reconciled himself with that. And so we have to build as much pressure on him as possible. Most of the members of his own party, of the Likud, are against his policies, are against the Palestine state, are against the retreat to the pre-1967 suicide borders, are against building freezes in Judea and Samaria. So we're one of the groups, we're not the only group, there are other groups as well that are opposing his policies, but we're one of those groups that keeps the pressure up from the right. And we are the only group that is uncompromisingly right-wing. We're the only group now that advocates the Kahanist program of encouraging the Arabs to leave the land of Israel in exchange for compensation. We're the only right-wing group that still has that platform. No one else says that. We're the last ones who propose the only sane solution for Israel's survival. And so it's essential that people hear our message. And we've been continuing to keep the pressure up. All day today I was arguing and fighting with people and arguing with all types of people back and forth about and I'm talking about people that are in the Likud and other people, back and forth about Netanyahu's policies and what should be done to stop him. But I think we are, how much influence do we have? We are one of the groups that keeps the pressure on him. We're one of the groups. I don't know how much influence we're having, but we're having some influence. We're having some influence because nobody likes to have video after video calling them traitors and capos and Judenrat, and we're the only group that really throws everything plus the kitchen sink at anyone who advocates giving up any part of the land of Israel. And, you know, our videos are very strong videos, and I don't think anybody likes to be the subject of that type of criticism, especially when we point out how suicidal, how insane, how reckless these policies are, how anti-Semitic these policies are, even though they're carried out by Jews. And so we're continuing on that front. We're continuing the fight on that front. What we're doing is not enough because our budget, you know, is too small and we have certain limitations. But with what we have, we're doing everything we can. And I think we're having some effect. Is it enough? It's not even close to enough. But it's something. And we're keeping up the fight. There's another thing that's very important that's coming up in Israel. The Bolshevik so-called Supreme Court of Israel has ordered the Israeli government to throw all the Jews out of Amona on July 31st. Amona was the Jewish hilltop community in 2006 where finally the Jews in Judea and Samaria took a heroic stand and really resisted the way they were supposed to. And I'm told, when I say really resisted, they threw bottles and rocks and kicked and punched and fought, you know, when the police came to take them out. Now, the police were very brutal on them, but they really did resist there. They resisted, and we've shown videos in English and Hebrew of their heroic resistance. And ever since then, we're the only ones that have had a consistent message. We've been telling the Jews in Judea and Samaria, you want to stop a Palestine state, you want to stop national suicide, you want to avoid getting expelled from your homeland, which is what Netanyahu will do if the circumstances present themselves where he's able to do it. Right now, by the way, the only reason it hasn't happened yet is because, thank God, the Arab Muslim Nazis are so dumb, they're not accepting Netanyahu's offers. And that's a miracle from Hashem, from God. But Netanyahu, if confronted with an Arab leadership that will accept these proposals, if he was confronted with Arab terrorists like Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, who is a murderer, a terrorist, a Nazi swine, and Netanyahu's begging him to go to the negotiations on his hands and knees, if God forbid that process started, and God forbid we had a situation where the Arab Muslim Nazis were willing to accept an arrangement where Israel creates a Palestine state and all of the phony agreements and other things that would come out of that which aren't worth the paper they're signed on. But if we had a situation like that and the whole world led by Barack Hussein Obama start pressuring Netanyahu, you better believe Netanyahu will for sure give in if that happens, unless there's massive pressure from Israeli Jews, and he knows he's going to lose his job, and he knows it's the end of his political career. Unless he knows it's the end of his political career and there'll be massive resistance, he will definitely give in to that type of pressure because he is weak and unprincipled and immoral and is disloyal to the land of Israel and has betrayed the land of Israel repeatedly, and he's done it before, he'll do it again. Don't forget, he gave up 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, to Arafat, after everybody said he'll never do it. He gave up 13% of Judea and Samaria and the Y agreements to Arafat and the PLO terrorists. He continued the Oslo process with the Y agreements and with the surrender of Hebron. This is a slimy individual who cannot be trusted. And so, on the issue of Amona, Amona is a place, is a community, where in 2006, Jews finally gathered there and they resisted from the rooftops. And I don't know if you saw the pictures, but I mean, these kids were really, really heroic. They fought back with bravery. And many of them were hurt and beaten badly by the police, very badly beaten. And dozens of them had to be hospitalized, but they fought back. And they really put up a resistance. And it was all, you know, something like that, a scene like that, of course, is live on Israeli television. And the effect was tremendous. The vast majority of Israeli Jews said, enough, we don't want any more of these type of scenes. And for 2 years, they didn't touch the Jews in Judea and Samaria as a result of that. For 2 years, the Jews in Judea and Samaria were able to build hilltop communities and expand their communities, and no one touched them because no one wanted another Amona. Amona, real resistance, even though it's painful and difficult and people can get hurt, and people get arrested, that is what works. That's the only language that the evil, traitorous Israeli Bolshevik establishment understand, that the Erevrav, who are running Israel, understand. And so we've been promoting this message. We've been saying, look, you've had several big outposts with hundreds of Jews expelled from their homes. Netanyahu has already thrown hundreds of Jewish men, women, and children out of their homes. He's destroyed already several big hilltop communities. Hundreds of Jews have been kicked out of their homes by this pig, Netanyahu. And that's because there was never real resistance. And we're going down the same road as Gush Katif, and this will lead to a Palestine state, God forbid, into catastrophe for the Jewish people unless we wake up and stop this. And so the Supreme Court now, Amonah, they rebuilt in Amonah again. Jews came back, they returned. After they were thrown out, they returned. They rebuilt again. And again, the Supreme Court is saying, you got to throw the leftist, filthy Jewish anti-Semites on the Supreme Court. Yemash mamba zichram shem reshaim yirkav, who are the lowest, most vile, evil, satanic, left-wing, Judenrat kapo scum. They keep issuing these orders. No, you've got to throw these Jews out. I mean, just unbelievable. They order the Israeli government to throw them out. And the Israeli government gives in. I mean, if we were in power, we would throw the Supreme Court out. We would pass a law in the Knesset, majority support. Supreme Court is out. You're out. We're replacing you with real Jews. Anyway, what happened was what happened was Jews came back to Amonah after this heroic resistance in 2006, and now there's several Jewish homes there, and they want to destroy it again. We have been pounding this issue for years, and finally there are Jews there who are saying, you know what? Maybe it's about time we took a stand again at Amonah and showed Netanyahu we're not going to sit back, we're not going to let you create a Palestine state. We're going to block with our bodies any further expulsions of Jews. And this is what we've been urging people to do. And guess what? The Netanyahu regime is urging the Supreme Court not to force them to destroy the structures in Amonah now. They didn't do this with the other communities, which were saying, oh, we'll negotiate. You know, the others in Judea and Samaria who followed the evil Yesha Council and who were willing to negotiate with Netanyahu and who were willing to work out deals and were begging him not to do this. That didn't work at all. Netanyahu immediately said, yes, go in and destroy them. Destroy their homes and throw them out. But because in Amonah, the Jews are saying, okay, you want to do this? Fine, but we're going to resist, just like we did last time. We're going to resist, and it's going to be bloody, and you're not going to like it. We're not going to shoot anybody, but we are. You're going to have to drag us out kicking and screaming. There's going to be real vigorous physical civil disobedience. And it's worked as far as Netanyahu's regime. He doesn't want, he really would like to avoid this now. Whether or not he's going to be able to convince the Supreme Court not to do it, I don't know. But this is because, and this, by the way, really is us. This is JTF and the people that JTF works with in Israel. Because we're the only ones. You will not see anyone else. I challenge you to show me anyone else who's been saying what we've been saying for years, that we must do Amonah every time this happens. No one has been saying this other than us. And finally, Jews are beginning to say, hey, if we don't take a stand soon, we're going to lose everything. Finally, some people are saying that. I hope they mean it. I hope it's not a bluff. I hope they mean it. I don't know. I hope they mean it. But we're the ones pushing this. And so this is an area where I do think we've had an impact. I really do think we've had an impact, and we may yet save Amonah because of this. All the videos we've done dozens of videos with thousands and thousands of views, most of them from Judea and Samaria. Young people from Judea and Samaria coming to the videos and seeing these videos, urging Jews to resist. And I really think that it has had an impact. Whether it's enough, I don't know. Of course, I want us to do much more. What we're doing is pathetic compared to what should be done. We're not reaching a fraction of the number of people that we'd like to reach. We'd like to reach much greater numbers of people on a regular basis. With our, every week we should be reaching 2 or 3 million Jews in Israel. We should have a huge, I mean, we should be like Fox and talk radio in America. We should be that for the people of Israel. Our movement should be that for the people of Israel. So obviously we're not even, we're a tiny, tiny little fraction of that. But the people we are reaching, I think that we make sense. A lot of them think we make sense and it influences them. So, again, I think we've had an impact in that area. God willing, I hope and pray we can stop this. I don't know if we can. There are powerful forces that want to destroy that community and that want to make it another test case to show that they could destroy Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. So this is a test case. I hope and pray that everything we've been doing all these years, dozens and dozens of videos on this subject, that it pays off in the end, and that we can again prove that our way is the way that works, the way of resisting, the way of civil disobedience, the way of not giving in. Never make deals with the government. You don't make deals. You resist, and you say, this land belongs to us, and we're not making deals when it comes to our homeland. We don't compromise on our homeland. That's the way you deal with a government that wants to betray the land of Israel. Even if you lose a battle here and there, in the end, if you're really principled and stubborn and have, okay, of course you have to have some people behind you, if that happens, in the end, the uncompromising people will defeat the compromisers. The uncompromising, principled people will win. The idealists will win in the end, because they're the ones that stubbornly refuse to give in and keep going back and keep fighting and fighting and fighting. Those are the people historically that win in the end. So, I don't know. I'm not kidding myself. I hope that this is for real when these people say this time we're going to resist. I hope it's for real. I really don't know for sure. Until push comes to shove, we don't know for sure. I hope it's for real. But if it is, then that means we have had an impact. Because again, we're the ones that spoke to all of these people. We're the ones that have been saying this to them for years. No one else has been introducing this to them, this logic to them for years. So let's just hope if it works, then JTF will have something to be very, very proud of. If we protect this community, it will be a big victory. So that's the situation in Israel. We're trying our best with a very limited budget, under very limited circumstances. I'm not even allowed, of course, to step foot in Israel. So we have tremendous limitations. And under those circumstances, we're trying our best. We're trying our best. And I think JTFers can be proud of the fact that at least we're not compromising. We're doing everything we can. We're trying to wake people up. We're making the arguments. We're presenting the case. And I don't know in the end what's going to be. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to be, but at least you know that you're part of a movement that is really trying its very best to do everything we can to save the land of Israel and to prevent the catastrophe of a so-called Palestine state. God forbid. And now, in the United States, look at all the things that have happened in the United States just this past week. We had the disastrous suicidal immigration bill. The United States is also committing suicide. The immigration bill legalizing 20 million illegal aliens and giving them citizenship. Every Republican senator that voted for that should be defeated for re-election, should be primaried. There should be a challenge in the Republican primary. They should be defeated for re-election. Every Republican that supports that garbage should be thrown out of office. Of course, the Democrats who support it should also be thrown out. Now, the Senate passed it by a vote of 68 to 32. So we'll see what the House does. The House, Speaker Boehner and the House leaders are a bunch of cowards. I hope they don't sell out. They're under real pressure from the base. On that issue, we're going to know where we stand. We created a new video this week on the subject. Of course, we're going to be one out of... On that subject, there are many groups that are involved, many, many groups on the right that are involved. We're just one out of many, And of course, we're going to add our voice to those who say that you should contact your congressman and make it very clear that you will, that how strongly you are opposed to any amnesty bill at all. They should oppose any and all bills that in any way legalize the illegal aliens. Illegal aliens should be thrown out of the country. And people should contact their congressman, and people should, you know, I think that there should be lessons learned here in terms of primary challenges to those Republican traitors who supported this bill. Because this is 20 million new registered Democrat voters. 20 million illegal aliens becoming citizens, that's 20 million new Democrat voters. Will never, never have a chance of having a decent president again if that happens. So this has got to be stopped. And secondly, we had the really horrific ruling, of course, by the Supreme Court supporting homosexual marriage. I mean, what a disgrace, what a horrifying disgrace. Every civilization and empire and nation that has gone down that path has been destroyed. God wipes out empires and civilizations and nations that accept this type of perverse behavior. What a terrible tragedy for America that this is what we've come to. And we've got to continue to speak out against this and oppose this. Even if America wants to become Sodom and Gomorrah, we have to be a voice of opposition, standing for the truth. We have to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests, like the Bible says. The Jews have to do this. The righteous, the good Jews have to do this, the Kahanist Jews. And our righteous Gentile and our righteous Gentile friends in America who agree with our message, we have to together fight against this and fight for morality. And we're trying our best. We're going to try our best. It's a pretty, pretty dismal situation that we saw this week. Let's hope we can at least stop the immigration disaster in the House, because that will really be a catastrophe, an absolute catastrophe for America, for Israel, for the Western world, for the whole world. Just a catastrophe if America goes down that road. If you agree that we have to continue this fight and you want as many people as possible to hear our message, then you know how to help us. We have the English and Hebrew videos. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos on the forum, help us promote it on YouTube and on Facebook. Help us promote it in the YouTube and Facebook search engines. By the way, the Hebrew videos just as much as the English videos. Even if you don't understand Hebrew, you could still help us promote it. You want Israeli Jews to see it. And how do you do that? You like, favorite, comment, share, and mirror the videos. You do all the things that you could do to promote it on YouTube and Facebook. It's really important to help us. Secondly, we of course need people to put up good threads and posts on our forum, on both of our forums, if you speak Hebrew, on our Hebrew forum. If not, then at least on our English forum and on our Facebook pages. You know, we have 5 Facebook pages now in English and in Hebrew. On our forums and on our Facebook pages, we need good threads and posts so that people will find us interesting and provocative and inviting, and people will want to join us and will be able to grow and become a movement that can do great things. And finally, last but not least, the most important thing, of course, is our financial problem, where we have a very limited budget. And we literally want to make this a better world. And we have a very limited budget. It's very hard to make this a better world. We have a world of over 7 billion people, and we have a very limited budget. We want to start, you know, at least make a country like Israel, which has 5.5 million Jews. We want to make that a better place. We want to, it would be a nice place to start. But again, our budget is, has always been and continues to be our big problem. And so the wonderful Jews who help us, and there are wonderful, generous Jews who on a regular basis send us checks, money orders, cash donations to our post office box through the regular mail, and other wonderful Jews who donate by credit card, by going to the donate button at jtf.org, which is our English main site. There's a donate button on top. Or at hayamin.org, our Hebrew site. There's a donate button there as well. And they donate with their credit card. They donate very conveniently with their credit card, either doing it by credit card or regular mail. God bless the wonderful JTFers who are doing it. It makes a big difference. It really makes a big difference. It gives us a chance to reach more people. It gives us a chance to wake more people up. It gives us a chance to present the truth and the facts and our message to more people. And I think we'll all agree that that is important. We have to try. We're not allowed to be silent. We have to challenge injustice and stand up for what's right. And so God bless the great JTFers who are helping us with that, both in this world and in the next. And that's, you know, I know I took up a lot of time. It's already 26 minutes into the show. I took up a lot of time. But I just wanted to review. We had so much happening this week. I just wanted to squeeze in as much of that as I could. All right, now let's go to our great questions from our great JTFers. Okay, I just want to make sure everything's okay over here. And it looks like it is, Baruch Hashem, thank God. And we start off with the great Pyramid Head fan who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion on Alicia Silverstone? If you need more information about her, here is her Wikipedia profile." Well, the only thing I know about her, I haven't seen her Wikipedia profile, but the only thing I know about her is, I mean, I've seen a couple of articles about her in the New York Post and a New York Post online. And, you know, I know her father was a self-hating intermarried Jew. And I know, you know, so of course she has that self-hating, sick behavior, that sick mentality. And so, of course, she's an extreme left-wing supporter of PETA, you know, the anti-Semite animal rights fanatics who think animals are more important than human beings, who bomb laboratories because they want to save mice from experiments, from cancer experiments. In other words, people should die of cancer and heart disease and other diseases so that mice can live. Mice are more important than human beings. And by the way, I don't like seeing mice. I think we should be kind to mice and we should be kind to all of God's creatures. But human beings come first. Human beings are more important than rodents. But these sick, evil people who also, of course, constantly they're trying to outlaw kosher slaughter and are against, you know, these are the people that single out the Jews because many of them are self-hating Jews because they're Jewish anti-Semites. Even though kosher slaughter is by far the most humane, the most painless, and the best method. But these beasts, because a lot of them are self-hating Jews and because they're anti-Semites, they deliberately target the Jewish, the anything involving Jewish ritual. And she's involved. Alicia's, I don't know if you pronounce her name Alicia or Alicia Silverstone. I don't know how you pronounce her name. But I know she's involved with them because there was an article in the New York Post about this. And I remember that she supported the Jew hater Dennis Kucinich for president, who is a vicious Jew hater, who is against the very existence of Israel. And she's, of course, supported Barack. She was one of the many actors and actresses in Hollywood, like 95% of them, who supported Barack Hussein Obama. So she's an evil, left-wing piece of garbage. Thank you very much, Pyramid Head fan. And now we go to the great Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what is your favorite memory of Rabbi Kahana?" Unquote. Oh, wow. Well, there's so many things, there's so many great memories of Rabbi Kahana. You know what comes to mind right now? The hundreds of times that I saw him in debates. Either when he was on the radio or on television or at universities, I saw him in so many debates. in English and in Hebrew. And you know, I honestly believe in all the times I've seen him, and I was there in person dozens of times when he was debating. Dozens of times I was actually there in person in the audience. Sometimes I was the guy handing out leaflets. I was the guy with the pamphlets at the table, sitting at the table in the back while he was up there debating somebody. Or sometimes I just sat in the audience. But I never recall, and there were other times when I was just listening to him on the radio debating people, I never recall him losing a debate. I mean, just maybe because I think he makes so much sense, but in my opinion, every single debate that I saw him participate in, he was the clear-cut, decisive winner in every single debate. And he made so much sense. And it was such a Kiddush Hashem. It was such a sanctification of God's name to listen to him. He was so brilliant and so truthful and so logical and brought such a wonderful message to the people of this world. And that's what one of the great things I remember about him. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to our good friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, your opinion on the soon-to-be-dead, if he's not dead already, Nelson Mandela," unquote. Oh, Nelson Mandela, yamashmo v'zichro, that communist, Jew-hating, white-hating, terrorist, mass-murdering beast. You know, he's like a black Arafat. He used to blow up innocent men, women, and children, blow them up and murder them. He was a terrorist. The reason he was put in prison, they said, oh, so he was in prison for 27 years. He should have been executed. He was a mass murderer. He was a communist terrorist. And by the way, he is a communist. And look at the great thing he did for South Africa. South Africa's a nightmare now. Black people took over South Africa. The black majority took over. And now one-third of all black males there have AIDS. Great accomplishment. His own family, members of his own family, his own sons have AIDS. He has people in his own family with AIDS, or his grandson, I don't remember who, but he has people in his own family with AIDS. I mean, just, an animal. An animal. He represents a culture of animals, a nation of animals, and he's an animal. And I know it's not politically correct to say that, but the truth is often politically incorrect. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And it's funny, they call me a terrorist because I damaged the property of Soviet diplomats to free Soviet Jews who were being held hostage behind the Iron Curtain. You can't get a cause more just than that. And to damage the property of these evil Soviet diplomats who were all communist spies in the United States? I didn't even injure anybody. And we made sure not to injure anybody. And everybody's so worried about the poor commie spies in America having their property damaged in order to save Jewish lives and save Soviet Jews who nobody knew about their plight until we did these things. But that they call terrorism. Nelson Mandela, who blew up buses of children and murdered innocent men, women, and children, who turned South Africa into a nightmare where one-third of black males have AIDS now, where you have the crime rates that make Washington, D.C. look safe. I mean, they have a murder rate in South Africa five times the murder rate of Washington, D.C.? I mean, it's a nightmare. What a culture. What a disgusting culture. What barbarians. And everybody's, oh, it's so terrible, Nelson Mandela. He's dying. Yimach shmo v'zichro. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now, one moment. Okay. And now we go to our great friend waiting for the mother plane to come, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, pretend that Jonathan Pollard had somehow made it to Israel. Would the Israeli Kapo regime have extradited him under pressure?" Unquote. Obviously they would have, because he did make it to the Israeli embassy. He and his wife made it to the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., and the Israeli embassy physically dragged them out and handed them over to the FBI. Now, you know that obviously they were under orders to do so. They obviously called back home and called up the Israeli government and asked them what to do. The Israeli government said, hand them over. So, of course, they would have extradited. Of course, they would have extradited him if he had been able to get into Israel. Of course. We've seen how the Israeli government behaves. How all the Israeli governments have behaved. Of course they would have. Thank you. Waiting for the mother plane. And now we go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, have you heard about the feminist Ukrainian protest group Femen? They claim their topless protest is elevating the role of women. What do you think? Unquote. Well, I think that women who run around topless are absolutely disgracing them, not only disgracing themselves, but are harming the cause of women and the role of women in the world. There is nothing more humiliating than that type of behavior. Nothing more disrespectful and humiliating and dishonorable than to run around and expose yourself to people that you don't even know. Just run around exposing yourself to children, to people, to all these men that you never even met, that you never saw before. I mean, what if men ran around doing this? And they'd be arrested. What if men ran around exposing themselves, pulling their pants down and run around exposing themselves? Would that be elevating the role of men? And what type of behavior is this? It's absolutely humiliating and shameful. And, you know, women, people who truly want to elevate the role of women in the world, should create a situation where women are respected, are honored, are cherished. Not a situation where they become objects, where every man can pick at them and they become objects, and their bodies are the only thing they know how to do is use their bodies in a sexual way. I mean, it's the lowest role for women. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to our friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, one, what do you think of the Israel Day concert in Central Park? Unquote. I don't like it because they have you know, it's an establishment thing, and they have establishment type speakers. And, you know, I'm a Kahanist. I don't like the establishment. I don't like the sellouts that these people promote, and almost everybody who's a spokesman in the Jewish community sells out. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. In my eyes, that's the way it is. And Binyamin then writes, too, also, please comment on the UJA homos that infiltrated the concert grounds with rainbow flags, unquote. Well, you know, of course, it's disgusting. Well, the UJA, the United Jihad Appeal, is the most evil, self-hating organization. And it doesn't surprise me that they would have homosexuals in that organization running around with rainbow flags. And by the way, they've been promoting homosexuality for many years. They actually fund programs telling parents that you should be proud if your child is perverted. You should encourage it. You should be proud when your child is perverted. They actually have what they call therapy and counseling, where they teach the parents to be proud. They teach the parents that this is a good thing. I mean, this is so twisted and so sick and so upside down. Everything in the Jewish world of today is upside down. If you want something logical, go to a Jewish organization, do the opposite of what they're doing, and then you know you're doing something logical. Everything they do is so upside down, so twisted. And this was all, you know, foretold, and it was all foretold by the prophets. Woe unto he that calls light darkness, and darkness light, good evil, and evil good. Now, this is the era we live in. We, of course, have to be there, though, to tell the truth when no one else will. The UJA should be boycotted, and, you know, people running around and desecrating, you know, desecrating events for Israel with so-called rainbow flags. You know, it's absolutely disgusting. If the Jews had any self-respect, these people would all, they beat these people up and put them all in the hospital. And I'm serious. I'm serious. You come to someone's to parade for a sacred cause like the cause of Israel with this perverted garbage? I mean, you know, normal people, can you imagine if they tried to do this to you know, if they did this at the parades of other nations, they would, you know, their lives would be in danger. And you know something? I have more respect for those countries and those nationalities because at least they have national pride and self-respect and dignity. And I'm not advocating doing anything illegal, obviously. As you know, I'm a law-abiding citizen. But I don't think anybody has a right to crash a parade for Israel, even though, you know, the parade has a lot of other garbage, too. They have the Peace Now. They have all types of leftists. The whole thing is just... You want to know something? The whole thing just sickens me. It just sickens me. You know, there's... These are not people that are marching for the land of Israel, that are loyal to the land of Israel. And the fact that they are willing to march together with homosexuals and leftists and Peace Now and outright traitors, now, that shows how twisted and how twisted and distorted their whole thinking pattern is. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to our friend Papercut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, why were you forced to leave Israel? All right, let's start with that, unquote. Let's start with that first. I was forced to leave Israel because I'm a Kahanist, because I support the ideology of Rabbi Meir Kahana. Zecher tzaddik v'kadosh livracha Hashem yikom damo. Which means that I believe that the entire land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, which is what the Bible says, what the Torah says, what the Bible says, that God gave the entire land to the Jewish people, and that the Arab Muslims who want to destroy Israel should be encouraged to leave. That's what I believe. And for that reason, I wasn't allowed to stay in Israel. Whereas Muslim terrorist mass murderers like the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat were welcomed into Israel, invited into Israel. Arafat and 80,000 Muslim terrorist armed murderers were invited into Israel during the Oslo agreements, and they went on to murder 1,800 Jews. But I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel. And Papercut now writes, and I quote, also, if you get back there, what is the possibility of Israel taking back all the land from the Arabs? Unquote. The only possibility of that happening is if we take power, or if God miraculously forces the Jews. You know, in the 1967 Six-Day War, you had a leftist government, but God forced them. They didn't want to liberate Judea, Samaria, Gaza, Sinai, the Golan Heights, Jerusalem. They didn't want to do that in 1967. God literally forced them to. He created a situation where they didn't have any choice. So unless God forces them to through some miracle, and we're not allowed to depend on miracles, the only other way is if we or someone like us eventually take power. If someone with our ideology and our philosophy eventually rises to power in Israel, then Israel will liberate the land, the rest of the land. Thank you, Papercut. Okay. And now we go to our friend Obama is trash, who writes, and I quote, Bollywood actor Sanjay Dutt, son of a Muslim and Hindu socialist, is jailed for helping Muslims during Mumbai riots. What sentence should he receive? Unquote. I think he should get the death penalty. I think if he's helping Muslims who have engaged in acts of violence and terrorism and actually are responsible for the murder of many innocent Indians, and in Mumbai, you know, eventually, of course, in Chabad was attacked in Mumbai, and And so there's Jewish blood that was shed there as well, eventually. I don't think he was connected to that particular incident, but still, this is a guy who's working together with those Muslims who engage in acts of violence and he obviously supports their genocidal agenda. In a normal country, that's called treason. And in a normal country, I know I sound today, there are going to be some people today who are going to say, oh, Chaim, you're really, you know, what can I tell you? In a normal country, if you commit treason, if you're a traitor and you support the enemy, that's called treason. When you support the enemy, it's called treason. It's called being a traitor. And in normal country throughout most of history, throughout the vast majority of history, traitors were executed. That was the penalty for treason. Throughout most of history, that's the way most countries used to do things. In most civilizations, in most countries. That's the way it was. And you still have it on the books. You still have death sentences on the books for treason in most countries. Anyway, thank you, Obama is trash. And now we move on to the great voice of reason, logic, and common sense, the great Dr. Dan, who writes, and I quote, can you speculate on the state of the economy for the next couple of years? Housing, banks, mortgage, etc., unquote. I think eventually the economy is going to crash. Now, I don't know if it'll happen in the next couple of years. The next couple of years, we may hobble along. But I think eventually this is going to come crashing down. I think Obamacare is very harmful to the economy. And I think there are a lot of other things that are taking place that will hurt the economy. I think Obama's policies are very, very harmful. And eventually, I think we're going to face a very, very, very deep recession and a real crisis in the country. I think that's coming. I don't know if it's going to happen in the next couple of years. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe that eventually it will happen. Thank you, Dr. Dan. Great question. And now we go to the great Tzelhar. Tzelhar, who of course is also active on the Hebrew Forum, writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, is Zudi Jazer and his American Islamic Forum for Democracy a Muslim equivalent of B'nai B'rith or perhaps a Taqiya operation, unquote. I've heard him on the Sean Hannity show. And I'm not impressed. You know, I'm not very impressed with what he's saying. He does claim that he's not against Israel, and he makes various other claims. But the problem, I'll tell you what I think the problem is, Tzelhar. It's possible he really believes this. The problem is he goes around presenting himself as though what he's saying is real Islam. He's saying that real Islam is compatible with democracy, is compatible with coexistence. That's a very dangerous message, because that's giving people an impression that is completely false. Islam is completely incompatible with democracy, freedom, tolerance, coexistence, completely incompatible with any of those values or concepts. Islam demands world conquest. Islam demands forcible conversion or mass murder of all non-Muslim infidels. That is real Islam. That is the only Islam. The Islam that this guy is claiming is Islam has no basis in the Quran, and no basis in the Hadith. And for him to go around and tell people, you see, I represent real Islam, he's perpetrating a falsehood. And even if he's sincere, I don't know if he's sincere, but even if he is sincere in thinking this, what he's saying, number one, is not true, and number two, it's giving people an illusion that's very dangerous, because our problem is not that there are Muslim extremists. Our problem is that Islam itself is extremist. The religion itself is violent, fanatic, murderous, and genocidal. That's the problem. Not just that there are some people who interpret it that way. No, you can't interpret it any other way. You cannot turn Muhammad into Thomas Jefferson. You cannot turn Mohammed into someone who's willing to peacefully coexist. You can't. The true Islam is Al-Qaeda. The true Islam is Hezbollah. The true Islam is what we see in Iran and Saudi Arabia. That is true Islam. Anyway, thank you, Selhar. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "What should America do about Afghanistan and Iraq? Don't they realize that they handed over Iraq to Iran, as will happen once they leave Afghanistan?" Unquote. Well, my position has always been that the problem has never been Iraq and Afghanistan. The problem is Iran. And the solution, I mean, we have a solution. We have, you know, we have our 7-point solution. I don't know if people have seen it on the main page, but we actually have a we actually had a platform where we came up with solutions on how you deal with the Islamic terrorist threat. First of all, obviously, in terms of Iran, as you know, as I've been saying for 20 years now, either the United States or Israel should long ago have done it already, but better late than never. They should immediately destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Muslim terrorist nations should not be allowed to have nuclear bombs. Pakistan does have nuclear bombs, unfortunately. Fortunately, though, India is right on Pakistan's border, and so Pakistan is pretty much obsessed with trying to deal with India. In any event, Iran, though, is a different ballgame. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, all bets are off, and there's a real danger of a nuclear holocaust. So the first thing you do is destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That comes immediately, before anything else. Once you have done that, the long-term program is to eliminate our need for oil, to get us independent of oil. If we're independent of oil, all of these countries will become much less of a threat, because it's the trillions of petrodollars they receive that enables them to do the real damage and to really threaten us. It's the petrodollars. That's why they're buying up big corporations. That's why they're building weapons of mass destruction. That enables them to launch wars. That enables them to sponsor hundreds of terrorist organizations. They would not be able to do most of the things that they're doing if they didn't have this massive financing that they get from our slavish, unnecessary, insane, suicidal dependence on their oil. So you destroy the nuclear bomb-making program of Iran, and you have a real crash program to get us off of oil. If that happened, Obama now is doing the opposite. He's going after the coal plants. He's going to make us more dependent on oil with this insanity. We should have clean coal everywhere. We should be encouraging the opening of far more coal plants and the use of far more. Coal alone can supply all of America's energy needs. And Obama is crippling the coal industry. So Obama is helping his Muslim friends keep us addicted to oil. That's one of the fundamental problems. But again, destroy the nuclear bomb-making program, get us off of oil. You do that, those will be crippling blows to the cause of Islamic terrorism. Thank you very much, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And now we go to the great Corey Deserved It, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the perfect structure of the Torah, the accuracy of the Bible codes, and how they apply to modern events," unquote. Great question. And if people only knew how deep the Torah is. You know, there's a saying in Hebrew, Shivim Panim La Torah, which means 70 faces to the Torah. In other words, there's 70 different levels you can learn the Torah on, 70 different ways you can learn the Torah. And they're what we call revadim. Revadim are different levels. In other words, you keep learning in the Torah, there are deeper and deeper meanings. Every word, every letter in the Torah has a meaning. And people who study it deeply find such incredible truths. Remember, the prophecy of the Torah and of the Tanakh, of the Bible, is coming true in our day. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen with our own eyes the return of the Jewish people to their homeland after 2,000 years of exile. We've seen with our own eyes the Jews outnumbered 100-1, winning wars in 6 days. We've seen with our own eyes the desolate cities becoming habitable again. It says the desolate city shall become habitable again. All the things that were predicted about how the desert is going to turn into a garden and how the land of Israel is going to change, all of these things, we've seen these things happen in our time. How can anybody be blind to this? The Torah is filled with prophecies, just as the Bible as a whole is filled with prophecies. The Torah, by the way, meaning the first 5 books of the Bible. And then you have the oral Torah and you have the written Torah. The oral Torah, which is the Torah, which is the Mishnah, which is something where it's not part of the Bible, also is filled with all types of predictions of what's going to happen and what's coming. And I mean, it's just, you know, and the Talmud and the rabbinic commentaries, the rabbis, Chazal, make all types of predictions which are coming true in our time. And so, to understand these things gives you an understanding of where the world is now and where the world is going and of what our real purpose in life is. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is not a biology book. The Torah is not a science book. The Torah is a book of morals and a guide to life that if we follow it, if we follow what God commands us to do, and we do what he tells us, we do what he has instructed us to do in the Torah, and believe in him, and truly believe in him, then we create a whole new world, a whole new reality in the world. And that's the purpose of life. That is the true purpose of life, is to discover what our purpose is. Every single person in this world, every single person has a mission in life. Most people never fulfill their mission. Most people never even try. Most people don't live righteous lives. But a righteous person wants to fulfill their mission in the world. Every person has a calling, a special calling. If people would only answer their calling and answer their mission and do what God commands them to do, what a better world this would be. What a better world it would be for them personally. What a better world it would be for their families. What a better world it would be for everyone. That's the real message of the Torah. To change us individually, to change us on a national level, to change us on a worldwide level. And the studying it in depth through the Bible codes or through studying of the Torah, the oral Torah, the written Torah in depth, studying those things enables us to truly understand modern events and to know what is yet to happen in the future. Thank you, Corey deserved it. And now we go to the great Gematria, who writes, and I quote, Chaim HaPikeach, your thoughts on Deborah Glick. Ugh. Ugh. Deborah Glick. She is the assemblywoman who is an avowed lesbian. So, you know, you can imagine what I think of her. I'm just looking her up right now as I'm speaking to you. Oh, no, I didn't get the right thing. Let me see. Deborah Glick. Yeah. Okay. Oh, is she ugly? Why are these feminists so ugly? And you know, these feminists, they're always saying that men are touching them, and men are bothering them, and men are assaulting them. They should be so lucky. They're so damn ugly. Who the hell would ever want to touch them? You know, I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. She's a horrific, evil beast who spends her life fighting for evil. She's so proud to be a lesbian. She fights for perversion. She fights for evil. She fights for the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Everything that God wants us to do in the world, she does the opposite and fights for the opposite. Her life is devoted to evil, to making this world a worse place. Yimach shma v'zichra. And now Gematria asks about David Weprin, Nili Rozic, and finally Michael Simanowitz. Oh, these are all people, locals here in Queens, local self-hating Jews in Queens. You know, I mean, I know some of these people personally. I know some, in fact, I know, I've met some of them. David Weprin, I know personally, unfortunately. And Nili Rozic, you know, I've spoken actually to her father. You know, I don't know if you know, Nili Rozic's father actually speaks, I speak to him in Hebrew. We argue in Hebrew. These are all self-hating Jews who are opportunists who will sell their soul to the devil just to get a political office, and they support Obama and they support people that want to destroy Israel just so that they can get ahead personally. Now, let me tell you, one thing I could tell you for sure, God will not be kind to Jews. And these are all self-hating Jews here. God will not be kind to any Jew on the day of judgment who is willing to sell their people out just so that they can get ahead personally. Those who have no mercy on their fellow Jews will get no mercy from God. God is very merciful. But if a person is a cruel, evil, vicious rat, they don't deserve any mercy and they won't get any mercy. Anyway, thank you, Gematria. And now we move on to our great friend Mishma, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim Hamoach. Your comments on the Trayvon Martin case, immigration reform, amnesty, and Paula Deen, unquote. Oh, you're covering a lot of bases here, Mishma. Well, the Trayvon Martin case, I just this evening, in fact, Shlomo did another great video of his. We said that George Zimmerman should be acquitted of all charges. He absolutely defended himself and did the right thing to protect himself. What he did was entirely lawful and legal. And this whole thing is just an obscene railroading. This is a complete outrage, what's going on. The prosecution witnesses are all proving that George Zimmerman is innocent. Yeah, I mean, how can such obvious injustice take place on television with the whole American people watching, and nobody even says, what the hell is this? Where is this country gone? What has this country become? It's beyond belief. George Zimmerman should be acquitted on all charges. On all charges. He's absolutely innocent. And now Mishmat writes, immigration reform. Oh, by the way, you notice in the Trayvon Martin case, Trayvon Martin can call white people crackers. And his girlfriend says, yeah, that's what they call white people, which in her community, they call them crackers. Do you see his girlfriend? You see that? That orangutan. Anyway, she says, "Yeah, oh yeah, we call him cracker." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. But Paula Deen, just to jump ahead to your other, Paula Deen used the word nigger once, 30 years ago, and now her career is supposed to be finished. I mean, what type of country is this? And by the way, when you try to say the word nigger, when they try to repeat the word nigger on television, they bleep it out. It's the N-word. Like, these people are sacred. I mean, if there's any people that deserves to be spoken to in a nasty way, it's them. If there's any people that has earned contempt, it's them. And I'm not saying all black people. There are some black people that are good black people. But the majority, their behavior is so disgusting that if anybody has earned being treated and spoken to like a dog, it's them. And my apology to dogs. Dogs are actually, you know, dogs are actually loyal animals. I actually have to apologize to dogs. But I mean, you know, they don't even care about their own babies. They abandon their own babies. Their own babies are, I mean, 70% of black babies born in America are illegitimate. This is not Chaim Ben Pesach. This is the U.S. Census Department under Obama. They admit 70% are born illegitimately. They abandon their own babies. So she used the word nigger 30 years ago. Big deal. Big deal. But Trayvon Martin and his girlfriend and everybody, they could call everybody, and Al Sharpton, they can use the word cracker. Al Sharpton used the word cracker. Al Sharpton used to call Al D'Amato a cracker. How come Al Sharpton has a show on MSNBC and everybody respects him and kisses his nasty behind when he uses the word cracker? Why is the word cracker okay, but the word nigger is not okay? And by the way, I'm against hating people on the basis of race. I mean, I am against hating people on the basis of race. But the most racist people in America are blacks. Blacks and Arabs and Muslims, they are the most racist people in America. But they can do anything they want. Anything they want. What a farce. Immigration reform amnesty, you asked me about Mishmat. That I discussed that in my opening and I discussed it before. Obviously, you know, we're opposed to any amnesty. And our position is that illegal aliens should be thrown out of the country. They're here illegally. What do you do with people who come into the country illegally? You deport them. They say you can't round up millions of people. Why not? Why not? Throw them out. Millions of people came in here illegally. That's okay. They should be thrown out. And certainly we should do everything we can to prevent this amnesty bill or any bill legalizing the illegals from passing the House. That's where the action is now on that issue. Thank you, Mishmat. And now we go to Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, "Why is there so much media attention on the Trayvon Martin case as well as the demonization of George Zimmerman?" Unquote. A good question. And the answer is because America has, for years now, has a new religion. It's called worshiping blacks. It's worshiping black people. And when I say black people, I mean the most evil ones. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Barack Hussein Obama. We're supposed to worship them. You're allowed to say, by the way, if you want to quote somebody and you refer to Jews as kikes, that's okay. You refer to Hispanics as spics, that's okay. You refer to Italians as guineas, that's okay. You refer to Irish as mix, that's okay. You can use any slur against any ethnic group you want. And if you're quoting, I'm saying if you're quoting somebody, you could say this guy, you know, called him a kike, or called him a spic, or called him a guinea, or called him a mick, or called him a Polak, or called, you know, any ethnic group. But if it's blacks with the word nigger, you have to say the N-word. You're not allowed to say the word nigger because they're so sacred, these people. They're so holy. You can't dare even say the word. I mean, what the hell is this? Who are these people? Are you kidding me? They destroy every neighborhood, every city they go to. I mean, they're a nightmare. Look at Africa. Look at the worst continent on the face of the earth. What is this worshiping of these people? And again, there are some decent blacks. And the ones that are decent, unfortunately, by the way, the real decent ones would agree with everything I'm saying. And they're demonizing George Zimmerman because you're not allowed to defend yourself if blacks attack you violently. You're not allowed to defend yourself. And I know I've said a lot of politically incorrect things on this particular SJTF. Because I'm fed up. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the whole routine here. I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of the lies, and, you know, it's about time someone told the truth. Thank you, Russian Leo. And now we go to our friend Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, what do you think of Jacob Javits? Thank you, unquote. I think he's burning in Gehinnom right now. I don't think, I know. I mean, he's, oh, what a horrible, evil piece of garbage. Another self-hating left-wing Jew. Another self-hating piece of garbage who told Israel to commit suicide, who you know, always sided with Henry Kissinger and with all the pressure on Israel when he was a senator. Another one. Horrible, a horrible, wretched, vicious, evil person. You know, these Jewish politicians, they are the worst self-hating Jews. They're the worst enemies of their own people. The worst. I never support the Jewish politician. Never. If there's a Jew running against even a Gentile anti-Semite, I'll usually vote for the Gentile. I never vote for the Jew. It is such a desecration of God's name. It's a chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of God's name. These self-hating Jews, when they get into power, they're the worst enemies of their own people. Thank you, Kalman. And now we go to the great Kahana loyalist who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what is your opinion of Ariel University from an academic and ideological perspective? Unquote. Well, it's an establishment university, so obviously I don't agree with their ideology. They're part of the establishment. Just like Bar Ilan is part of the establishment, even though you have people there with kippot, and even though you have people who claim to be from the religious nationalist camp, they're part of that establishment mentality. Does that mean that I want to see them boycotted? You know, I don't want to. I mean, if someone boycotts Ariel University because they want to say that Jews have no right to live in Ariel and have no right to live in Judea and Samaria, then of course I'm going to defend the right of Jews to live and build homes and build communities and build universities in their own homeland. Obviously, I'm going to defend that. So I will defend Ariel University against boycotts. But, you know, the type of things they teach there are not what we're supposed to be doing as a people. No one is teaching Jews what we're supposed to be doing as a people. No one is teaching Jews to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests in the truest sense of the word. No one. No one is teaching them the truth about our enemies, both internal and external. No one is teaching them the truth about what Israel, what the destiny of Israel is, and what Israel is supposed to be doing, and how Israel is supposed to be Am Levadad Yishkon, is supposed to be a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations, which is what we're commanded to do. No one is teaching them that. No one. So, you know, obviously, I have a problem. I have a problem with all of these institutions. And that's something that we have to change. It may take years, it may take a long time, but Kahana loyalists, we've got to change that. If we want to be a great people again, then we've got to change that. Thank you, Kahana loyalist. And now our good friend Maimonides writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, why is it that some people on this forum are obsessed with race? Unquote. Maimonides, you're probably going to say that about me if you hear the whole show, because I've been really going off lately. Maimonides, it is reprehensible what this country has become. And people in this forum are reacting to it. I'm not saying people should come on the forum and say that black people are all gorillas or any of those other things. And we had a lot of that years ago on the forum, and we stopped that. But things that are happening in our... I'll give you an example. There's a television commercial on, and it shows that the burglar is a white guy, and the family that he's burglarizing is a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful upstanding black middle class family. In other words, the blacks are the victims of burglary and the burglar is a white guy. I mean, this is complete opposite of what is happening in the real world. It's like on Law and Order, you had that episode where a rabbi rapes a black woman. And then all the people in the congregation cover up for the rabbi, and they're all nasty, evil Jews, and the blacks are all wonderful people, and they're the black judge, the black lawyer, and the black prosecutor, they're all wonderful people, black cops, they're all wonderful, they're all heroes. And it's written by Jews. And the rabbi raped the black woman. I mean, first of all, forget about rabbi raping black women. How many rabbis rape black women? How often do Jewish guys go out and rape black women? Now, let me ask this question. How often do black men go out and rape women? The answer? 70 or 80% of the rapes in this country are committed by black men. 70 or 80% of rapes in America are committed by black men. Similar number if you want to talk about murders. The vast majority of murders in America are committed by black men. Most violent crime in America is committed by black men. Violent crime. And so, you know, is this ever depicted on television? Why don't they show on television? I want to see some truth for a change. I just want to see truth. I want to see a movie showing black people as they really are. I want to see a movie showing them lazy and filled with hate and jealousy and getting ahead solely because of their race and black men raping women. And blacks murdering innocent people. I want to see a movie showing those types of black people. Because that would be far more representative than the insanity. I mean, every time you open up the television, or you see a commercial, the scientist, and if it's a commercial about medicine, the scientist, the researcher is black. What are you kidding me? What world are these people living in? Where are the great scientists from Kenya, Nigeria, and the Congo? What are you, joking? I mean, stop lying. Stop lying. These people have accomplished nothing. Nothing. And are being given everything. So if people on our forum are responding to that injustice, I have to say, sometimes they overreact, and sometimes people have over-responded, and we've had to take corrective measures. That's true. But I understand people's desire to respond to this insanity that we have. And Maimonides, one other thing. As a Jew, don't forget, the Jewish people did for the blacks what they never did for their own. 6 million Jews are murdered in the Holocaust, and the stinking Jews of America did nothing, didn't lift a finger to save 6 million of our brothers and sisters during the Holocaust. But helping these black Jew haters in the South during the civil rights movement, that they were willing to do anything and everything for. And after everything the Jews did for the blacks are the most anti-Semitic, hateful, vicious people on the face of the earth when it comes to Jews, together with the Arabs, the blacks and the Arabs. So I'm sorry, Maimonides. I know these people. And they are Jew haters. And they're ungrateful, and they always bite the hand that feeds them. I'm not saying that's all blacks, but it is most. And no one dares to tell the truth. On this program, at least, I did. On this particular program this week, you heard some truth. And if you try to put the remarks that I put on this program on YouTube and try to do videos, I just want to warn our people, you try to do that, that they'll take off. They will not allow the type of things I said on this program. If you try to put this on YouTube, even though it'll be good for people to hear it, you're going to get your video taken off. The type of things that I said on this program, I'm talking about the type of things I said about blacks on this program, that they will take off. They will not allow you to tell the truth. And everything I said is either the truth or it's an understatement. Thank you, Maimonides. And now we go to our great friend Confederate Kahanes, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, what is your opinion of Lockheed Martin? Thanks and God bless. Well, the problem... Well, Confederate Kahanes, one of the problems with these corporations that build armaments is that they're willing to sell it to anyone. If they could, they would sell it to enemies of the United States as well. They'll do anything for profit. So you know that I'm not going to like that. I mean, they love to sell their equipment to Saudi Arabia, to other countries that are enemies of the United States. They'll do anything for profit. They're not moral. And I'm an idealist. I believe that morality comes first. And Confederate Kahanist writes, thanks and God bless. God bless you, Confederate Kahanist. And now we go to 800-pound Cro-Magnon star witness Rachel Gentel, who writes, and I quote, how did the anti-Zimmerman prosecution find a pre-humanoid species to testify against Zimmerman, and was that legal, unquote? I don't know if it was legal, but I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. What a low, vile, disgusting creature. And how people even on Fox, which is supposed to be the conservative channel, they were tripping over themselves saying, but you know, I feel sorry for her. Charles Krauthammer, who's supposed to be the conservative voice on Fox, said he feels sorry for her because she didn't really want to be there. And he was speaking about her like she's a nice person. She's a lying, lowlife, ignorant, ugly piece of garbage with an attitude problem toward everybody, toward the whole human race, because she's not part of it. And they, you know, she's the type of person that they're pushing, they pushing that mentality, that culture to take over the whole United States. It's really, really horrifying. Really horrifying. Thank you, 800-pound Cro-Magnon star witness Rachel Gentel. And I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another show. I know this was a really controversial show. And again, if you do, you know, if you try to put some of the comments I made about blacks on YouTube, I have to warn you, if you do that, there's a good chance they're going to take your video off. So I don't know if that's wise doing that. It's good, by the way, to make videos of the programs we do here, if you want to make videos of our Ask JTF shows, it's fine. But I don't want to see people losing their channels and getting their videos taken down. And the type of comments I made here, you're not allowed to say it on YouTube. You're not allowed to say these things. You're allowed, if it was against whites, if it was against Jews, then, you know, you're not only are you allowed to say it, YouTube will promote it. But if you tell anything that's even remotely critical of blacks, not allowed. Anyway, until next week, shalom.